Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Every good gift and every perfect gift. Chapter 4. The goodness of God that leads to repentance. Romans 2, 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? At first, when the subject of gifts is approached, many people may think that gifts are always given in the sense of adding something to their lives. Nonetheless, as we have seen in the first chapter of this subject, there are gifts that act in the sense of helping people to leave behind what does not cooperate with their lives, as is the case of one of the facets of God's goodness. Thus, paying attention to the description that the scriptures present to us in the text of Romans 2 about goodness is very significant or crucial, for if God does not grant his goodness to a person or one despises the goodness bestowed by God, this same person will not even be able to find the place of repentance concerning what one should repent of, as exemplified regarding Esau's life in the text that follows below. Hebrews 12, 5-17. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Returning, then, to the matter of the goodness of the Lord, we can observe that several people say that they adopt the idea of not abandoning the practice of sins that they like to commit because of a thought that in the future, when it pleases them, they will repent, ask God for forgiveness, and turn to God's salvation when it is most convenient for them. These people, however, forget or despise that this does not depend only on them, but it depends on the goodness of God to be with them in the future for them to be able to do so. Repentance is a voluntary act done by the person who repents, and it is not God who does it for an individual. However, if God's goodness is not granted to a person to repent or if that person despises the gift of God's goodness towards him or her, one will not even have the ability to choose to repent. Although the option for repentance depends on the people to whom it is offered, the ability to realize the need to repent does not depend on people, but on the Lord granting them the goodness to do so. Yet in other words, no person, when one perceives the need to repent of one's postures and one's acts that are contrary to God, one's life, and one's fellow men, should despise the act of repenting, for the fact that one perceives the need to repent, as well as the fact of being able to do it indeed, are signs that God's goodness is working in favor of this person so that one changes one's heart, attitudes, and actions. A conscious contempt, in the present, of the goodness of God is something very delicate and dangerous to adopt, as this attitude conveys the idea that people themselves have full autonomy to define by themselves, whenever they see fit, everything they want or do not want to do and everything that is good and what is not good to do. If a person merely repeatedly postpones the act of repentance which would be beneficial to adopt, thinking that one can do it any time one intends to do so, that person is adopting a thought that he or she is the one who is, and always will be, in control of one's entire life. An aspect that is not the actual reality of the one who surrenders to a life of sin and who opposes the Lord, as widely exposed in the theme of the Gospel of the Righteousness of God and exemplified by the following text. Romans 6, 14-16. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? No person has the ability in oneself to free oneself from the yoke of bondage to sin, from the body of sin, from the law of eternal condemnation if one is not helped by the Lord. Therefore, one should not despise the goodness of God when it manifests itself towards him or her so that one repents in one's heart and changes one's posture and actions. For example, when a person realizes that one should repent in some attitude towards one's spouse, or a father or a mother towards sons and daughters, or, still, sons and daughters towards their parents or their siblings, to re-establish an appropriate relationship between them, none of them should despise what they realize that needs to be done, for the fact of someone perceiving something in this sense results from God's goodness towards him or her. The Lord may lead a person to godly sorrow in the heart to repent. And this, too, is a gift for the benefit of a person. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. At a certain point in his life, one of the psalmists exclaims and recognizes that even some afflictions to which he was exposed cooperated so that he could know the truth of God. Psalms 119, 71 and 67. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Before I was afflicted I went astray, but now I keep your word. The Heavenly Father truly wants the good of people. And he bestows goodness upon goodness, mercy upon mercy, and grace upon grace so that people may repent and return to him through the reconciliation of fellowship that can be done through the Lord Jesus Christ. However, this also goes through the path of repentance concerning the ways and acts dissociated from the life according to the will of God that a person adopts, also exemplified by the two texts that follow below. Acts 17, 24-31. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord, in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. 1 Timothy 2, 3-5. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Lord God grants us life and everything necessary for this life to be directed according to the truth and His good will towards us. However, part of this process involves the gift of the Lord's goodness that leads us to repentance in order to let behind what is not good and appropriate for the life that the Lord has given us. No person, much less a Christian, should take lightly the calls to repentance that the Heavenly Father presents to him or her, for the central aspect in focus is not the resistance to repentance but the rejection and contempt of the goodness of God that a person practices when one does not accept the Lord's instruction to repent of what one is shown to repent. Without the goodness of God, how can a person walk and distinguish between the path of truth and deceit? And without the goodness of God, expressed by His grace and mercy, how can anyone repent of what does not come from God for one's life? The path of submission to the mighty hand of God is the option that brings life, even when the Lord guides a person to repentance that generates profound changes in one's understanding and attitude. James 4, 6-10. But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Considering the fundamental and indispensable function that the goodness of God has so that a person can move away from the paths contrary to the will of God for one's life and remain in line with the good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Lord, it is not surprising that one of the most famous Psalms of the Scriptures worldwide ends with words of exaltation and such expressive reference to the goodness of the Lord associated with His mercy, as follows. Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this way, one of the central dangers of life is not only the inclination to aspects that are contrary to the will of the Lord, but also the resistance to what God offers people in His goodness and mercy, including for them to practice repentance. For the sake of passing fame, riches, and power, or because of the most diverse fascinations or seductions in the world, many people are inclined to despise the gift of God's goodness and give themselves up to pursuing the most varied gifts or achievements through their fleshly efforts. However, if a person disregards God's goodness, including when it leads to repentance, can there still remain anything that is indeed good for this individual? What good can remain for a person who rejects the very source of goodness, mercy, and newness of eternal life? Therefore, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. We then, as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:14-15. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Revelation 2:5. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Revelation 3:18-22. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Ephesians 5:11-14. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.